So I'm looking forward to seeing him. But we were in Santa Fe, and they were having something down at, I would call it the plaza. And, you know, I don't know about Spanish music and you, how, but I know if I get around something like that, I got to put my hair down just a little. Man, they were playing some kind of, I don't know what it was. But it was Spanish music, brother. And I'm so sorry, but even my older brother Bruce, who is he's very serious guy. You know, wouldn't you say that about your daddy? He's amazing. Most of the time, he can't let his hair down too. And Gary was with me, my little brother, 6'4". And that music affected me. I was like, whoa. I don't want to do this, but that music got my feet kind of tapping in. Well, when the prophet said, "You are my music, you are my song," he was talking about something that was supernatural, that when the music starts up, you got to worship, you've got to praise, because there's something that wants to move in us, inside of us, the Holy Ghost, the renewing, the refreshing of God. He is my music. Wow, praise God. So you know why? You know what and why? You know what? I am not going to be afraid. I'm going to trust. Why? He is my salvation. He is my strength. He is my song. And just in case somebody didn't catch it on the front end, it's left on the back end as well. He also has become my salvation. In case you didn't get that on the front bumper, you get it on the back. Or on the back bumper, you get it on the front bumper. Or on the front bumper, then you get it on the back bumper. What does that mean? It's like it comes back in and wants to make... It all starts with that. The music starts with us getting saved and staying saved. Amen. One lady stood up to testify and she said, "I feel saveder and saveder all the time." Give the Lord a hand praise, would you? You may be seated. I'm going to go just a little bit further here because there's one more verse. So let's go over it again. He is my salvation. Number one, okay? He is my strength. You can claim that. He is my strength. Say, "He is my strength." He is my song. He is my music. And then it comes right on to say, "He is my salvation." Look at all that he is and wants to be for us. Verse 3, therefore, there's something in this verse that you might, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw. Most of us, I think, most people think like this. I'm not going to get happy until the bucket comes up. Right? But he didn't allow us that luxury. He said, "No, I want you to draw with joy. I want you to draw with expectation that when the bucket comes up, there's going to be cool refreshment in it. Drop the bucket in faith and draw it with joy. Don't wait until you see the manifestation of what's in there. Get happy as you draw on it and draw it up in faith." What does that tell me? Sometimes we wait till the last second, till the manifestation of something to our senses. And then we get happy if I feel a healing. You're not healed because you feel it. Thank God for feelings, but feelings can lie to you. What do you think that Job's feelings said to him? "You must be..." I'll give it an Italian lilt. Okay? "You must be a crazy, huh? You must be a crazy, huh? A little bit of too much of pizza, huh? A little too much of parmesan, huh? Cheese, huh? On your pizza. You're a goner. You're backslid. God must hate you." And do you know what the real deal was? If he was to judge it by sight, it wouldn't match, because the real deal was God was bragging on him to Satan. The very opposite. God was so appreciative. Good to have all of our guests tonight. Praise the Lord. God was so appreciative. Do you know that sometimes God's tempted to brag on you when you pass that test and you stay faithful, you stay smiling when everything's coming unglued? You're dropping that bucket. You're not waiting until it comes up and you see the water. You're drawing it with joy. Do you know what I told people the night that I got the Holy Ghost on the way to that service? I was only 14. That was just a few summers ago, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man, that was a few summers ago. But I told them that the next service, Brother Mike, I told them I'm going to get the Holy Ghost at youth service on Friday night. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I did not know. Nobody had taught me the laws of faith. You know, that you speak it. You know, you stand on the promise and you speak it. And I told them, I'm getting the Holy Ghost. And actually, the preacher came over, an amazing man of God, soul winner that was teaching us a Bible study. And I told him about this, and when I would say it, great joy came on me. Now, wait a minute, that's not supposed to happen. See, you're supposed to get the, after you've talked in tongues 3 hours, you know, then you can have a little joy, and then the joy tells us you really got it. No, that's not the Bible, but that's the way we sometimes practice it. Understand, there's a difference between the way it's written and the way we practice it. Hallelujah. I got happy just dropping the bucket. That's right. Anybody know what I'm saying? Yeah. I got happy because I was already claiming the Holy Ghost before I even got to the altar call, before I even got to the building. Did you know that God wants us to come to his house claiming his promises? Lift your hands up, would you? As unto the Lord, you can claim something in childlike faith in the name of Jesus based on promises in God's word, in his name, for his glory, not our glory, but for his glory. I claim my healing, Lord, because you said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. And with his stripes, you have to say it, declare it. Isaiah kept doing that. He kept saying it. You're my salvation. Oh, praise God. On a good day. On a bad day. Yes. Woo! On a bad day. Anybody ever? Okay, I'm going to give you a chance on this one. By the way, you really encouraged me last week when I said, have you ever been pulled over? And I stopped and you thought that I had asked the whole question. Almost everybody's hand, went up. And it's like it gave me so much comfort. It's like, okay, y'all, open the altar. I'm going to the, you just prayed me through. I thought about it later. It's like, I was going to say, have you ever been pulled over by the Holy Ghost? But I didn't get to the Holy Ghost part. I just went, you know, have you ever been pulled over? Then I heard Sister Linda go, just last month. And it's like, am I in an encouraging church or what? You know, it's like, man, oh man, the transparency in this church is awesome. I came back and rejoiced about that. I thought, I should have just taken about 2 minutes and just said, Lord, bless them. They just blessed me. I'm so embarrassed to tell them I got pulled over when I asked them about it. They all lifted their hands like, what are you talking about, dude? That happens to me all the time. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. Therefore, with joy. What do you want to see God do? Drop the bucket and start drawing it up in joy before it gets to the top of the well. Draw it. Do you see that? That's powerful. Because faith without works or action is dead. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw. And let's start talking about sketches. I know somebody in the room tonight that's an amazing sketch artist. I am so jealous. But I am not anywhere near that. But it's not talking about drawing sketches. It's talking about drawing the bucket up. Therefore, with joy. Why? Why do you have joy? Because I know who my salvation is. It's bigger than an experience. It's bigger than a goosebump. It's bigger than an emotion. My salvation is centered on God. Hallelujah. and I know he is also my strength. I'm navigating through some crazy waters, but he is my... I wish somebody would grab a hold of that and claim it right now. I don't care if you jump up and throw your hand in the air. He is my strength. He's the strength of my life. He is my strength. I claim that. I declare it. I say it. And because he is, he's also my music. He's my song. Hallelujah. He is my song. I declare it. I say it. He is my song. And no matter what I go through, I'm going to keep on singing and I'm going to keep on worshiping, because he is my strength, my song, and he has become my salvation. Woo, let's love him for a little bit right now. In Jesus' name, I'm preaching about not letting fear be your default setting. Okay? Not letting fear become our default setting. A lot of folks live in such a way that their default setting is whatever crazy is going on, all of a sudden they give in to fear. Now, I used to think that I was somewhat of a bold guy. I think there is some boldness there. But since you were so good to me when I admitted I'd been pulled over, I wish I had a clip of that so I could just play that back to myself. That's, man, I am in an honest church. Well, that just happened to me a month ago. Praise God, I'm among the human beings. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to tell you that the longer I live, the more I realize how much fear affects me. The older, you know, or let's say the more seasoned. You're getting old when... going down the stairs makes you breathless. You know you're old when you bite into a steak and your teeth stay there. You know you're old when your back goes out more than you do. Okay, so I'm there. Come on, these guys got me all softened up on Sunday. I'm probably sort of a mess tonight, okay? But it was so much fun. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw. So with joy, you're going to drop the bucket. You're going to get happy before the bucket even gets to the top. I was telling them, I didn't tell you the rest of that. I did. I told them, Sister Gretchen, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost on Friday night. I did get the Holy Ghost on Friday night. What I said, I was just a punk kid, you know, 14, going on 32. I mean, I didn't know which side was up and which side was down. I didn't know that fat meat was greasy. I didn't know how to catch the elevator going the right direction. And I made statements, and then they happened. But when I made them in faith, and that's why the joy of the Lord fell on me at my dad's house. Not because I understood what I was saying, but I was literally unconsciously obeying laws of faith. When Billy Cole rebuked that snowstorm in West Virginia that Brother Cunningham said had been falling for, I think it was days. The snow was so deep, it was crazy, and it just kept coming down. And finally, you had to know Billy Cole. Billy Cole was a fiery guy. He was very authoritative. As a matter of fact, he was scary authoritative. I am a soft touch compared to Billy Cole. Now, he was also very jolly, very joyful. There was a lot of him to be joyful. When he passed out on top of the mountain and he woke up, and the Thai people, you know, missionary to Thailand for many years, the Thai people have a weird sense of humor. He wakes up and he looks up and they're laughing. They're bent over laughing. And he didn't think it was funny that he passed out and could have died, right? But they saw something funny in it. So he said to them, "What is so funny?" And they said, "Brother Cole, if you had died, we would have had to have rolled you all the way down the mountain to get you out of here." when he split his pants, you know, and he had to have them sewed up with the pants on him. I say to that, yikos. Because they said, here's the car we're taking. And he looked at the car. It was one of those tiny, tiny, tiny little. He says, do you want me to get in or put that on? What do you want me to do? I mean, he split it. Anyway, so all these amazing missionary stories from this great, great man of God. Yeah, yeah. Draw with joy. He spoke to the snow and he rebuked it. And Brother Cunningham said, in seconds, it had been snowing for days. In seconds, the snow stopped.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have in you the capacity to change things through the power of your faith and the power of your words. When you take his word and frame it on your lips, not so we, but so he gets glory, he gets the praise. So watch this. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Not just one well. When one runs dry, he's got backups. Oh, praise God. When's the last time the joy of the Lord struck you? Because fear cannot live in the presence of joy. It cannot coexist with supernatural joy. I was visiting Bob Miller, Rick Miller's daddy. Rick's been here to preach for us. Amazing young man. Tremendous touch of God on his life. You know, hospital visits in Columbus are scary. Because I lived in a town of 42,000 for 19 years. There was one hospital. You could get to it from almost anywhere in the city in 8 minutes. Here, it takes 8 minutes to park once you get there. And I mean, I'm telling you what, I was trying to get to the OSU hospital, and you have to, you know, take the freeways and then come off on the right exit. Oh, God, have mercy on you if you come off on the wrong exit. Now, I'm telling you what, it's scary to go on hospital visitation. I heard about a pastor who named his little air raft, his little, what do you call it, air mattress in his pool. He named it Visitation. And when somebody said, where's the pastor? They said, he's on visitation. It's supposed to be a true story. Forgive me. I know we've got to have a little humor on Wednesday night. You're going back out there in that stressful world. I got to help you some. And you go to these hospitals up here. I've never seen anything like this. You have to pray in tongues. You have to be in the spirit because you could miss your turn or go to the wrong building. God have mercy on your everlasting soul. You go to the wrong building or you forget where you parked on that huge parkorama. And you got your little parking ticket. Now you got to figure out which one of these buildings is the man in. And Lord, please lead me by the Holy Ghost. Show me, Lord. It's crazy. I'm telling you. Now here's the kicker. There are 10 such hospitals in the city. At least 10 large hospitals. Welcome to the hospital ministry. Would anybody like to help me? Because I'm afraid. I just go out anyway, acting like I know what I do. And these hospitals are like little cities. Where do you park? How do you pull off a visit? It's all extremely intimidating. No wonder I'm the main one that's doing the hospital visitation. And there are over 10 of these huge hospitals. So I'm just telling you that I'm admitting to you that as I get older, yeah, I'm bold, sort of. But there's another side to me. And there's a lot of stuff that intimidates me. But what I try to do, kind of like you, I try to press through and do what I should be doing. It's scary if fear is our default setting. Did you ever look at the word anxiety? Hey, Sister Gwen, can you throw the word anxiety up? This is not in her notes, and she is so cool to help us. The word anxiety in like large, like about a 48 to a font. The word anxiety, A-N-X-I-E-T-Y. Can we throw it up there? I have never seen, I've never mentioned this as long as I've been here, I have never run into so much social anxiety in my life. I have not run into it anywhere near the level that I have in this city. It's rampant. And this is not, know this, this is not a criticism, but I'm going to tell you this, that social anxiety is a manifestation of fear. And the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love. Jesus is the one who is the perfect love. He comes into us and fills us with his presence and his power. And he wants to give us dominion over every form of fear. If you were to spell it in large letters, A-N-X, and right in the middle of the word is the I. Because there's three letters to the left and there's three letters to the right. And I is right in the middle. I'm going to stop right now. I rebuke social anxiety. I rebuke fear in every one of its forms. Never done this in 10 years. But if you would like to join me in this little prayer, I take authority over social anxiety because it keeps people, oh Jesus, it keeps people so messed up and so afraid to go out and do the work of the Lord because of their social. I bind social anxiety in the name of Jesus. Be freed. Be freed tonight from fear. Every form of fear. He came to deliver us from fear. How does he do that? Behold, God is my salvation. I won't fear. I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to be dominated by fear. Why? He is my song. He is my music. He is my strength. He is my salvation. I refuse to let fear become my default setting. How many of you can relate to what I'm talking about? God bless you. Know this. It's not a criticism. It breaks my heart. I believe God wants to give us keys over it. I really do. Let me tell you what happened. We're coming back from visiting Ember, her site, and a beautiful stone. And Phil, anytime you guys that you want to go by there, I never knew that it would take so much to kind of keep something looking nice. I got a lot of work to do up there, but the stone was beautiful. It's from China, and we were leaving out there on Sunday, on Father's Day. And by the way, she was an amazing kid to have, you know, like, God must really have loved me to give me Cindy and Hemmer. He must kind of love me a whole lot. So we were coming back, and I was getting ready to pull in and do this dash into my garage, and Aggie was coming out of her house. Now, anybody remember who Aggie is?
Yeah.
She's this bold, this awesome neighbor lady, young lady. She's probably, 25, 24, something like that. We talked to her kids. I mean, we just got a good friendship going in the neighborhood. But she's the one that looks after us. She calls me Mr. Michael. And Mrs. Cindy. And she's the one that beat on the pickup truck's window when she saw the teenage kids messing around our property. She put her biker gear on, and she went out there, tattoos and all, and beat on their window. And when they had the audacity to roll the window down, she said, I know that you don't live in this house they're working on down here. You're not from this neighborhood. I want you. They were messing around in their pickup. They were just messing around back and forth, and park here. Then just, you can see messing around. You know when you see it. She said, I want you out of here. Now, I don't want you ever to come back here. As far as I know, they've never been seen since. She was looking out for us. She didn't want them messing with our house or anybody else's house. But watch this. When I was pulling in, she was pulling out and she put the window down. This is the funniest thing. This is how I wondered if God wanted me to talk to you about stuff like this. And she says, we went to the Moo Moo car wash. It was the worst experience of my life. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. This is biker gal who beats on windows and threatens teenagers to get to vamoose, to get out of the neighborhood if they're not up to any good and they're messing around our properties. This is biker gal. What do you mean it was the worst? Well, they said, can you put your car in neutral? She says, I don't know if my car has a neutral. I almost fall out of the car. It's like I almost fall out of my... I'm not supposed to do that. It's not good for health. But it didn't stop there. She said, I don't know if I have neutral. She said, the jets, the soap was flying at her windshield, and she said, all my sensors went off in her car. Her little girl, precious, beautiful little girl named Catalina, was with her and probably was enjoying it. But Aggie, biker gal, wonderful, amazing neighbor, soap was shooting at her windshield, colors of it, and so on, and she couldn't quite get her car. She said, you know, you can't just get out of there because you're trapped inside there. It was the worst experience of my life. And I'm laughing so hard. I almost called her back to say, run me by that story again because it sounds kind of crazy. What are you telling us this for? Because I'm telling you that when I go to Moo Moo, I can almost go to sleep when I go through there. I go so often. What are you saying? Your fear is not my fear. You can have a fear of something that's supposed to be a pleasant experience, but somebody messed up your sensors. And God doesn't want you to be dominated by fear. He wants to turn that into a joy. He wants to give you so much victory, you don't worry when you go to Moo Moo or Boo Boo or car wash. Because you're going to be all right because you're going to find. I couldn't believe that biker gal tells me that the worst experience in her life was Moo Moo car wash. Now watch this. And some of you have stuff that scares you to death that I find fun. But contrary-wise, there might be some things that you don't have no problem with that terrorizes me. But you see, he wants us to live, if God is in your life, and he is, he wants you to live with the cognizance that he is your deliverance. He is your victory. He is your salvation. He is your strength. He is your music. He is your redeemer. It's going to be okay. Don't let your default setting be fear. Let's love them, on them just a little bit, if you would. Oh, praise God. Lord, thank you for victory. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you, God, for grace. Right now, you're wrestling with something, and God says, give it to me. I don't want you to fret. I don't want you to worry about that. Give it to me. Let's walk in victory. Let me give you some music. Let me be a song to you. I don't want you to live with anxiety. Give me a witness, somebody. Be strong. Why don't you step out and decide this year, I can be a witness. I can teach a Bible study. I could start off with one lesson maybe and just teach a little piece of that. But I have never in my life, I have lived in the D.C. area. That stands for darkness and confusion. Washington, D.C. I've lived in Wisconsin. I've lived in Oregon, went to college there. I've lived in Washington State. I've been all over the country preaching and so on. I have never seen social anxiety like I see it here. And you know why it's here? Because it's acceptable. I'm just telling you, not a condemnation, not even a criticism. I'm just telling you, if you want to give in and let anxiety be your default setting, you're violating scriptures. He's your song. How can you be anxious and worshiping at the same time? How can you have joy and you're drawing with joy and be afraid at the same time? No two things in physics can occupy the same space at the same time. Is this okay? I'm telling you what. If we're not careful, we have a reduced version of salvation. If we're not careful, we have this junior version. You know, when I go get cereal, if I got to be careful now because of Weight Watchers. Because tomorrow morning's Judgment Day. When they weigh me in. Take off my belt. Take off my shoes. Take off my pen. And my, thank you. My watch. And it's an El Cheapo. It looks expensive, but it's as cheap as I'll get up. Because the expensive one makes my skin break out in a rash. Or the cheap one, praise God. If it's cheap but it works, thank you, Lord, for cheap. Judgment Day once a week for me. On my way to judgment. See, we're all headed toward. Now watch this. I'm going to throw up a beautiful quote. Seneca, the famous Roman Stoic philosopher, said, "We suffer more often in imagination than in reality." That's why, oh, listen to this scripture from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Don't let the devil borrow your brain. Don't let the devil borrow your imagination. Did you know that God wants us to work with him? Oh, man, there's some stuff coming to me right now that's not in my notes. I've got to give it to you. You ready? Why was he upset with them just before the flood? Brother Blank, and you remember some of the comments, and if you don't feel bad, because you've had we've all had one of them days, no doubt. Today, yesterday, yeah, I survived the hospital call. He was upset with the way they were using their imaginations. It was only evil continually. Wow. He mentions that. Before he brings the judgment of the flood. This is not in my notes. It just got quickened to me. God gave you and me the gift of an imagination. And we too often let the enemy borrow it. So Paul, by the Holy Ghost, in 2 Corinthians 10, 5, is writing. And he says, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every what? Thought. We let our emotions run off with us. Has anybody ever been on a horse that ran off with you? Raise your hand. Vicky, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Sister Sowers. We should start a club because it's happened to me several times. You wouldn't think being part Cherokee. That's what I get for riding somebody else's horse that I've never ridden before. And when I gave them commands, they didn't understand the commands. They thought it meant something else. And that really makes it complicated. Very compromised situation when you say stop and he thinks you're saying giddy up. I was at a boys ranch in Oregon, and that's what that horse was like. When I tried to say stop, he thought it meant go faster, and he ran right at a barbed wire fence. Never been on this horse before. Thank the Lord I never rode him again. He almost sent me airmail through a barbed wire fence. And finally I just grabbed the reins and here's the barbed wire fence. Right at the neck of the horse, stopped on a dime. And only because I was holding on to the horse. You know that song that says, holding on to Jesus, I'll keep holding on to Jesus. I was going to be thrown, airmail, postage paid, to the trauma unit. Okay. So, just as that horse ran off with me, some of us let our emotions run off with us. Or our fears run off with us. Nobody knows what I'm even referring to. And one of the tools that the enemy uses is imagination. Why don't you picture? Somebody gave a definition of faith, and it went like this. Faith is the pencil of the soul that pictures heavenly things. Faith is the pencil of the soul that pictures heavenly things. In a revival service, somebody let that pencil loose and it drew a picture of them getting the Holy Ghost at the altar. Minutes later, they got the Holy Ghost at the altar. What are you saying? I'm saying that God gifted you and me with an imagination, and too many times we let the enemy borrow it and twist it. He was upset because their imaginations were only wicked and evil continually. What they did with their imagination grieved his heart. So what if we come back and say, well, let's work with Jesus. If you want healing, see yourself healed. Do you remember what he said to Joshua? See, Joshua, I've given you Jericho. If he'd pulled back the drapes and looked out the window, nothing had changed in the city. But God said, see, Joshua, I have given you Jericho. What was he saying? He was saying, I want you to see it before it actually happens. I want you to see it in here. I want you to see it in your sanctified imagination. I want you to see the answer before it comes to pass. Woo! Come on now. Let's worship just a little bit. In Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Casting down imaginations, judging your imagination. Don't let it run off like that horse ran off with me. Don't let your emotions run off. Some of you precious ladies, listen, you are heroes in my book. You're going through it, and I'm trying to hold your hand and tell you you're going to make it. And he said through this same prophet, when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. He said, I will hold your hand and say unto you, fear not, child, I am with you. I'm going to tell you this. Sister Naylene, his hand is on you. You're not, this is not a solo flight. Reach over there, Sister Sowers, and bless her in prayer, would you? What a great lady. What a great intercessor. Sister Angela, you're a prayer warrior. I know it's a unique time, but God is with you. He is your salvation. He is your music. He is your strength. Oh, praise God. Whatever it is, walk in victory. Don't let the enemy take your emotions hostage. Don't let the enemy take your imagination and use it against you. Sister Mikey, I know you might, I don't know all the details, but I know God is with you. It's so good to have you on Wednesday nights too. Oh, praise the Lord. One of our newest on Wednesday nights. What a sweet, sweet young lady. And she loves the Lord, and you can tell she does. Praise God. Here we go. Fear could have two meanings. Okay, so I'm going to give you two renditions. F-E-A-R. It could mean forget everything and run. I mean, it could. I'm not saying it does, but some people, that's their rendition. Forget everything and run for it. Somebody said years ago, this is supposed to be a true story, they sent, in those days it was telegrams that they sent, a telegram and said, all is discovered, run for it. And they said there were so many people that left town, it was unbelievable. They said, all is discovered, run for it. And I mean, people were disappearing on planes and trains and buses, and getting out of Dodge, because they knew what they had said and done and so on, and the message was, it's all discovered. Okay, or it could mean face everything and rise. Oh, man. Face everything and rise. Got a little quote from Betty Bender. That's a unique name. But I love what she said. She said, anything I've ever done that ultimately was worthwhile initially scared me to death. I believe, I could be wrong. If I am, it's the first time in the last 5 minutes. I could be wrong. But I believe, did you hear what Jacob Pack said when he said, God's got some more for this church? He's got some more for this church. He didn't go into details. I hear these guys preach. I hear these men that come through and preach. And I'm telling you what, I believe the Lord is trying to tell us, I have more. I have more harvest for you. I have people I'm dealing with and wanting to draw here so they can be prayed for and ministered to. Praise God. I believe that. Whatever we ever did that was worthwhile, initially, it scared us to death. I took over a warehouse in Walla Walla, Washington. It was like a textile warehouse. And guess what? We had six large 18-wheeler trucks. And I had to sort all the dirty laundry and all these carts, stand on a platform and literally throw white bags, green bags, blue bags, you know, of certain accumulated dirtied laundry, and organize it in carts and then load all those carts up onto the big, huge 18-wheeler on Fridays. Trying to learn that job was so scary. And that's when I was really, really skinny. Have you ever had a job like this? I had to run some days all day long, literally run to get it done. You had to memorize numbers and you had to memorize positions of carts. And when I first started out, all those laundry bags stunk. As a matter of fact, it was overwhelming how bad those uniforms that they perspired in for a week or two. Oh, carpets and linens from the kitchens of restaurants. And then Sister Nicole, after a couple weeks, I didn't even notice it. The same way the enemy messes with us. He gets you to break down and make a compromise. And then he gets you to get used to it. At first it really bothered you. You stayed up late and prayed about it and you repented and you read all the verses in the Bible on forgiveness that you could find. It took you several hours to look them up on the internet and on your, and you know, the second time you felt bad, but not nearly as bad. And after a while, you no longer feel convicted. It doesn't smell bad anymore. Jesus, we ask you to help us. We ask you to help us, Lord. We refuse to be dominated by evil, to be dominated by fear, to be controlled by a default setting, Lord, that puts us on the run every time you give us a new assignment, every time you challenge us with something new in ministry or in life or in the church. Outside church, you want us to understand that you are our salvation. You are our music. You are our strength. Hallelujah. I will trust and not be afraid. I will not. He made a declaration of it. I will not be afraid. Praise God. Wow. In Jesus' name, I just feel like he wants me to stop here. Let's just love him for a while. I think he wants me to stop here for a bit. We're going to soften the lights. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, I've got more for you, but I feel the touch of God. I feel the touch of God right now. I sense the touch of God. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we honor you. Great God, we honor you. What used to bother us doesn't anymore if we're not careful. Oh, Lord, right now we pray. I know you're here, and I know you're breaking into our service again. And we felt you in the worship, the beautiful worship teams leading us into your presence. We felt you. We discerned you. But we also now, in this time of sharing, we don't want to grieve you. Lord, when we fear, we have faith in the enemy. We have faith in the arch enemy of our soul, because fear is faith in reverse. Dear God, we hurt your heart because we're calling you a liar and you can't lie. You never have lied, and you never will lie. Chiparabasata, sharabasa, shokubrabasa. Woo, shaprambo. Throw your fear to the wind. Throw your fear to the wind. Ask God to come by again and touch you with conviction. Oh, dear God, in Jesus' name, we humble ourselves. We can't do this by ourselves. We don't know how to live this life without your power, without your grace. We are not sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is in him. Oh, great God. I felt this sense right now that somebody, it would be a beautiful prayer for you to say, Father, forgive me for being afraid. I didn't mean to throw your promise away. I didn't mean to insult your heart. I know you can't lie. I know you said all things are possible to him that believeth. You said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, Lord. That's your word. You said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We welcome the Holy Ghost. Would you welcome the manifestation of his presence? Obey him right now. Go ahead and say what the prophet said. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He is my song. He also has become my salvation. Hallelujah. I'm going to be fine, and I'm going to drop the bucket in Jesus' name into the well of your power, into the well of your mercy, and I'm going to draw with joy and expectation. Hallelujah. Even before I see the refreshing and the supernatural answer that the bucket's coming up with. Draw with joy. Draw with joy. Hallelujah. Can you do something even physically like I don't know, step up to the plate. Step up to the promise. Stand and raise your hands. It could be anything. It might be kneeling. It might be, you know, breaking out in a psalm of praise. I do not know. I just know this. He's not called you or me to live with the default setting of fear. He wants us to walk in him. He said, in me you live and move and have your being. You don't even know how to be without me, he says. Thank you, God. Oh, God, if you would, if you would convict us of something, we would not be upset at you because you have the right. You have, Lord, that sovereign authority. You are God and you are Lord, and not my feelings and not my emotions and not my circumstances. You are Lord over the wind and the waves. You know what you're doing, and we will flow. Would you raise your hands? Mati shatata moroko pobrepita jene poroko saramo. Let the Holy Ghost pray in you. Let the Spirit of God pray in you. He wants to help heal your heart up. He wants to restore his joy. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach sinners thy ways. transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. From Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy. O God, let him bless you right now. Let him slap a chain off of you. Destinies and purposes. Hallelujah. As we fill this house with some beautiful worship music for a few moments, we're just taking our time, Lord. This altar is open. Obey the Holy Ghost. Obey the voice of the Lord in your heart. It might be that he wants you in faith to bring something down here. It might be in its invisible form, but you lay it at the altar. It's between you and him. He loves you on good days. He loves you on your tough days. He's got your back. He's not giving up on you. And he'll never throw you away. Never, never throw us away. Great God, fear, I refuse to let fear become my default setting. I refuse. Ooh, hallelujah. Get up and do something. Drop the bucket. Get up and do something in faith. If that leg's been bothering you, get up and move it in Jesus' name. If that shoulder's been bothering you, in Jesus' name, Lord, let your healing come into those joints, Lord. Let your healing come into those joints, Lord. Let your healing come into those eyes, Lord Jesus. I rebuke glaucoma. I rebuke glaucoma in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, touch our eyes. Touch our spiritual eyes. Go ahead, do something in faith. Drop that bucket. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Undeserved. Thank you. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Stormy wind and rain.